You're listening to NPR Illinois. I'm Illinois Issues Editor Jamie Dunn. Governor Bruce Rauner has signed hundreds of bills into law since the end of the spring legislative session. He's also made a few high-profile vetoes. This week, Illinois Issues takes a look at the proposals the governor has accepted and rejected in our legislative checklist. I sat down with Rachel Otwell to talk about it.
Governor Bruce Rauner signed two pieces of legislation that will change the way marijuana is regulated in the state. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
So one of those bills makes changes to the state's medical marijuana program. As you'll recall, that program's a pilot program, and it was set to expire next year. But this legislation will extend the program to 2020 and also adds a few conditions to the list of things that could be treated with medical marijuana, one of those being post-traumatic stress disorder. The new law will also change doctors' role in getting patients medical marijuana. Before this change, doctors had to actually recommend medical marijuana as a treatment, but now they can just certify that the patient does have the condition that's eligible for treatment under medical marijuana. There was some thought that doctors were maybe a little hesitant to actually prescribe or recommend the marijuana, so now they don't have to go that far. They just have to say, I have a relationship with this patient, and I certify that they have the ailment that makes them eligible for the program. The other marijuana-related legislation would decriminalize the possession of a small amount of marijuana. This is something that a lot of cities have already done, where if someone has a small amount of marijuana, they can be ticketed, kind of like a traffic ticket. The sponsor of this legislation wanted to make it statewide so it's uniform and make it so it's not discretionary. A lot of those city laws, it's kind of up to the officer whether they want to give you the ticket or not. Under the state law now, any possession of 10 grams or less of cannabis would be a civil offense, and there would be no real argument as to what the punishment is. It's a ticketable offense. And you might remember there was a version of this bill that already passed, and the governor vetoed it with an amendatory veto and made some changes to the bill. Instead of, you know, voting to accept those changes, lawmakers came back with a new version that incorporated the changes that the governor suggested, and he did sign this version. And the Illinois Supreme Court very recently put out some rules for how to implement this because they said this civil offense basically didn't exist in this way before this bill was passed. So they had to pass some rules on how court dates and fines and things like that would be handled so this could be implemented. This change is kind of seen as fitting under the governor's push for criminal justice reform. Of course, he said very publicly that he wants to reduce the state's prison population, and there's a commission that has this goal in mind that's working on reducing the population by 20%. This legislation will not have a huge impact on those numbers because there really aren't many people actually behind bars in Illinois in prison for small amounts of marijuana. But the thought also being that, you know, if folks are just getting a ticket for something like this, whereas in the past they might have had some sort of charge on their record, giving them a criminal record, making it harder to get a job. Once you have that ding on your record, you're much more likely to be involved with the criminal justice system again in some way and potentially go to prison. So this was seen as a small step in the right direction when it comes to criminal justice reform for those who are trying to cut down the prison population.
The governor signed several other bills related to criminal justice reform. What are some of those?
Sure. So he also signed legislation that will make it easier for some people with criminal records to get occupational licenses. So for a lot of professions in Illinois, you have to have a license to do them. And the Department of Financial and Professional Regulation gives out those licenses. This bill would tell the department that it shouldn't consider a felony charge unless it's related specifically to the line of work that the applicant is seeking a license for. This won't apply to all licenses, but it will apply to a few. It would cover things like funeral directing and embalming, roofing contracting, cosmetology, hair braiding, nail tech, barbering. One of the complaints was that there are barber programs in prisons in the state to teach folks the trade of being a barber. But then people, when they got out, were having a hard time, you know, getting a license for that because of their criminal record. So they're learning this trade while they're incarcerated, but then they can't use it when they get out to find a job. So the hope here is that this will help folks find work after they get out of prison. And if this goes well, I think we could see more legislation coming forward in the future to expand it to more and more of these professional licenses. And then another piece of legislation that the governor signed would cut the cost of prison phone calls. There's been a lot of stories recently about how expensive these calls can be when folks are trying to call from prison to friends and family. There were lots of fees being tacked on, and basically the contractors that offer this were just charging whatever they wanted. So this legislation will make those calls not cost any more than 5 cents per minute. Before this bill went into place, there was a commission that was charged on these calls, and the state, just the state, was making $12 million a year off them. That's not including the money that the providers were making off of these calls.
Rauner also issued a veto on a bill that would have ended the state's practice of suing inmates to cover some of the cost of their incarceration. Some lawmakers who have worked with him on criminal justice were critical of that move. Why so?
This bill would have stopped the state from suing inmates to try to recoup some of the costs of their incarceration. This is something that the state has been able to do for a long time. It's really spotty as to whether, you know, they choose to do it or not, and not a lot of money actually comes in through this practice. And there's been a lot of criticism about the, you know, ethics of doing this. Some of the thought being, you know, that a lot of folks that are in prison are fairly poor, and if you take away any money that they have when they are out and trying to get back on their feet, it'll make it all that much harder. The governor vetoed this with an amendatory veto, so he made some changes to it. What he would like to see happen would be that the Department of Corrections would set a threshold that if prisoners had more money than this threshold in their bank account, in their prison account, then they could still be sued. He didn't name an amount. He left that to the department. Some of the criminal justice advocates, lawmakers, mostly Democrats that have worked with him, were frustrated about this. One of them even said he was just being tough on crime for the sake of being tough on crime by making this change. The sponsor of the bill in the Senate, Daniel Biss, who's a Democrat from Evanston, said that this veto will effectively kill the bill. He doesn't have the votes. He doesn't think to override it. And it's, you know, unlikely that the supporters would want to accept this change because it would still leave the door open to the practice.
There was also backlash from Republican lawmakers over another bill the governor signed. Tell us a little bit more about that.
This new law would make changes to the Healthcare Right of Conscience Act. And that act allows medical professionals to opt out of giving medical treatments that they are morally opposed to. So it usually is coming into play for abortion or sometimes contraception issues. And this legislation would require that healthcare professionals who choose not to offer treatment under that act give patients information on where to find that type of treatment elsewhere. Several Republican lawmakers were not happy with the governor for signing this bill, and they did voice that frustration. It was seen as kind of a ding against anti-abortion groups. This law is currently the subject of a lawsuit from an Illinois doctor and an anti-abortion group. They're saying that it is basically violating their free speech rights by forcing them, compelling them to speech in the form of making a recommendation for where patients could go to obtain an abortion. These groups say that it's making them be party to something that they believe is wrong.
The action Rauner took that probably got the most media attention was his veto of legislation that would have automatically registered people to vote. What would that proposal have done, and what were the governor's complaints about it?
This bill would have automatically registered people to vote when they got their driver's license or had other interactions with the state. The idea was that, you know, these lists would be checked against other lists that the state has to verify that people are eligible to vote, and it would create a lot more access for people for voting. And the sponsor and supporters argued that it would actually make the state's voting rolls more accurate. The governor said that he supports the concept, but he didn't support the way it was done in this legislation. He did not, however, make any changes with his amendatory veto power. He just vetoed the bill outright. His concerns were he said that he thought it was possible that this bill violated federal election law. And he mentioned that, you know, a lot of folks who deal with the state maybe aren't legal residents or don't actually have the right to vote here. The backers of this legislation say that he's off base and that the bill has safeguards to keep those things from happening. And as I said, they feel like it would actually make the voter rolls more accurate. So we'll see what happens here. They did have enough votes originally to override a veto, but some of those votes are Republican votes. So it seems like it would be a tough climb for the sponsors of this to get the veto overridden, but we'll have to wait until November in the veto session to see if that's going to happen.
Several of the governor's vetoes were related to the ongoing battle over the state's budget. What were some of those proposals?
Yeah, all these bills either cost money or expanded programs. There were two proposals that would have increased the minimum wage for people who care for the elderly in their homes and people who care for the developmentally disabled. The governor said, we just don't have the money to do that. There was a bill that would have expanded the subsidized child care program for low-income families. You might remember the governor and the legislature had a big battle over this after he changed the requirements for getting into that program and cut a lot of people out of the program. And then he restored some folks' eligibility after it became pretty clear that the legislature was potentially going to pass a bill that would have overridden that move. But this legislation would expand the program beyond even where it was before the governor started tinkering with it. And again, he said, you know, we'd love to do this. This is something we support, but we don't have the money for it. Another bill would have reopened the Hardin County Work Camp, which was a minimum security Department of Corrections facility in Southern Illinois that offered vocational and educational programs. The governor vetoed that as well, saying that there's a lot of work and repairs that would need to be done to the work camp to reopen it, and there just isn't the money in the budget for that either. One bill that had to do with the budget situation that I found particularly interesting was legislation that would require that state agencies give notice before they suspend a grant or reduce a grant or tinker with a contract that they have with a provider. So the state contracts with providers for all sorts of things, including social service programs. And we saw when the governor first came into office, he froze a lot of grants trying to figure out how to manage the budget and kind of stop the bleeding because the state was really in the red after the income tax increase had sunsetted. So he froze all these grants and gave these social service programs basically zero notice that this was happening. And so you heard stories about after school programs closing down that day and having to turn kids away as they got out of school that day. Then we also went for a year without a lot of social service agencies getting paid, even though they had contracts with the state. The governor used his amendatory veto power on this bill. He said he doesn't have a problem with giving notice, but the bill would have required that notice be given, I believe it was 120 days before any changes to grants or contracts. And the governor rewrote it and said that 30 days would be more realistic for them, that they need the flexibility to, you know, make these changes and that these agencies couldn't give that much notice, that that would kind of tie their hands.
The governor signed a bill that will affect tax policy. Tell us what that will do.
Well, it's not a tax increase. That's something that a lot of folks are waiting on to see if a tax increase will make it through the General Assembly that the governor would accept so the state's budget impasse can possibly come to an end. Now, what this is a repeal of the sales tax on feminine hygiene products. So products like tampons and pads will no longer have the state sales tax on them. This is something that's been a bit of a national trend, and there's been cities that have repealed their sales tax on these products. So Illinois will join this movement to banish the tampon tax, and that bill goes into effect in January. So starting in January, there will no longer be state sales tax on feminine hygiene products. You can read all about the interesting bills that the governor signed or vetoed over the summer in the Illinois Issues Legislative Checklist. It's available now at our website, nprillinois.org.